Right here?
Yeah, you're under one and I'm under the other.
Where should I go?
Right there is five.
Yeah.
Whoops, sorry about that, Gordon.
Washington, you see my home?
What?
America University.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah, arts management.
That's good.
What time is nap hour?
Whenever you'd like. Okay.
Is this window okay to be open?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, extremely unfocused here, which is very bizarre. Yeah, basically I was thinking in terms of, first of all, since it has been a while, and going back over your memories of the first show, and sort of what memories do you have, and so on.
Well, first off, we were joking about how it was a career retrospective before the career began. At that point, it was, what, 2000, early 2001?
Yeah.
We were here, and God, I'd only been, you know, seriously creating this stuff for 4 years, maybe, by that point. So we had 100 or something.
Yeah, I think if I remember, about 141.
We had a 141?
Uh-huh.
We had to rent a huge SUV in the city, living in New York City, packed it up, put an American flag on the side, and looked like the, you know, Secretary of Defense on vacation in Aspen or something, for invading Canada. It goes back to juxtapose. Just looking for an alternative. I never really cared about the white cube. If they want to show me, I'll be happy to show them.
Okay.
I want to show the work of the world. So I was always seeking out alternatives, and one of them was this living in juxtapose. They featured you on that back page.
I forgot about that.
And I said, this place I've been, this sounds so cool. I contacted you, I think.
Okay. And then there, the first show versus the 2003 show, and then also now into Stuart Hall.
Yeah.
It seems like, yeah, 2 years ago, showing off the off.
Yeah, right? That's classic.
How would you, yeah, compare and contrast the differences?
Well, the first one was everything that I had done pretty much that I hadn't sold at that point. And it's just that, it's everything.
Yeah.
There's no organization to it. I kind of like that. Not being, it was like a giant puzzle that, for the life of us, if we tried, a million years, we wouldn't be able to put it together. Otherwise, we'll just throw it out.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. The second one was just a little more focused because I had a theme. Not really tight, but, tighter first. I'm going backwards, I think.
Okay.
And that was the inverted democracy, and that was something that I'm expanding on now, the idea of, it's almost like an unauthorized, ill-advised textbook. I don't know if it's a social studies textbook or a history textbook, but, and these would be the images, I imagine, in this textbook. And with that, we had, I had specific pieces of it, I had the landscapes, the natural landscapes, and the chemical and molecular landscapes.
Yeah.
I had the flags, I had, I think I had created chapters for the book and had the images sorted that way. And then Glowing Eye came up and this way. We dropped everything off here and then let you guys do your thing. And some of it you kept together and others you, you know, weave together in new ways, which I thought was really great and fascinating. And that, I thought that would work so beautifully. It was fantastic the second time around.
Okay.
And then it's interesting to see it broken apart again.
Mm-hmm.
A smaller version of it. And that's all it is. It's just a smaller
yes.
version of the inverted democracy over at the Stewart House.
Mm-hmm. Stewart Hall.
Stewart Hall.
Yeah. Okay. And so you're continuing on that whole sort of inverted democracy thing? Because the next thing is, what's up next?
Yeah, well, definitely. I got so many things
mm-hmm.
running through my mind all the time. And so, and it seems like our life, we're on a perpetual tour of
mm-hmm.
America. I mean, we have a home base, but we're
mm-hmm.
always on tour. I'm living out of a suitcase, and it just seems like that's the way our life is. And that's, so why not manage the art that way, too? So, yeah, one of the running themes is this inverted democracy.
Okay.
In the form of the redwood and the sandblasting,
mm-hmm.
in the form of the more mixed media, the collages.
Mm-hmm.
And even the sculptures, I've got a little sculpture park in Woodstock
mm-hmm.
in my backyard, and then some up around town. And so, yeah, I think that's the general theme, the overall running theme
mm-hmm.
is this inverted democracy that I can, if I wanted to, I can categorize everything that
okay.
I ever do
mm-hmm.
and put in it. But then, of course, you're going to break it up into smaller
objects. Okay. One thing that struck me last night was your commenting about how you make the signs and then find the buyers.
Yeah.
As opposed to the, which one you focus finding the buyers and then making
yeah.
the signs for them.
Yeah, that's so funny, right?
Mm-hmm.
They come in, customers come into the shop, and
mm-hmm.
they ask for the signs. And,
mm-hmm.
and my parents have a lot of freedom and leeway, you know. Because they've been doing this for so long,
mm-hmm.
they're pretty talented. So, yeah, they have some creativity
mm-hmm.
in helping the people discover what they want. But it's all me, it's all my crazy
mm-hmm.
twisted brain that creates the product.
Yeah.
And then I have to go out and find
mm-hmm.
the people.
Okay.
And it's a challenge, and it's, I wouldn't have it the other
yeah.
way.
There, speaking of that, can you actually describe the whole process? Because Joyce had mentioned wanting to know exactly how you go about sandblasting.
Yeah, it's definitely.
Although I know it's a certain thing, like through microphones.
It's, it's something that I always had to deal with. I'm looking at the finished product and thinking how beautiful it is, or how
mm-hmm.
funny it is, or how sad, or
mm-hmm.
Whatever. And I guess I'm just so used to the whole, I'm over the how unique and crazy it is, but it is something that everyone wants to know, and it's so fascinating, the process. Definitely it comes out of the sign business.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of garden signs, a lot of house signs, my father does the lettering, the truck lettering,
mm-hmm.
the traditional signs. My mom does this, the roundering and the sandblasting.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, I'm into Wee Economy, that's what they call it, Woodstock.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to deal with these bigger companies, corporations
mm-hmm.
in our lives every day, and that's
yeah.
a running theme in my work, is how do you
mm-hmm.
how do you not raise yourself? We've already been raised corporate.
Yeah.
How do we not raise the next generation's
mm-hmm.
corporate in any way you can deal with smaller units than that's
mm-hmm.
what we do. And we found this old mom and pop lumber yard,
mm-hmm.
Lower Siena, Nevada, mountains. They have I don't know if it, I think they get, permits, and then there's like a bidding system
mm-hmm.
through the national, the forestry, U.S. forestry
mm-hmm.
system. They drag that stuff out that's falling naturally. They run it through the lumber yard, and it comes out regular boards.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've been running on the tree we got many years now, and it's dwindling, and we have to find another source, go back
mm-hmm.
out there and get more. But that's what it is. I take scraps. You see a lot of my work that the shapes are
mm-hmm.
funky, crazy angles, and that it's just an as-is mentality. Like I'm taking it as-is,
mm-hmm.
and I'm saving it or recycling it. It's got another life. And
mm-hmm.
there was a sign that was. Share the edge with that crazy detail. And so the process itself is, I absorb everything in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And sit through pop culture and everything that's happening in the universe and goes through my twisted brain.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point we get on the computer with these images and I pull them, I create them, from a million different sources.
Mm-hmm.
And we play with them on the, it's a sign program.
Yeah.
And we come up with the final image. And then there's another machine that we put a roll of this heavy duty tape on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's probably about 2 feet wide, the roll.
Mm-hmm.
And you run it through and there's a little plotter that cuts the image out.
Okay.
Onto the tape. And so then you cut off your piece
mm-hmm.
with the roll and you lay it flat and you peel it off of that plastic
mm-hmm.
that you're holding it. And then you lay the whole thing, the whole piece down on the flat, smooth surface of the wood.
Mm-hmm.
And then you roll, you put a roll on top of that, make sure it sticks to the wood. And you get an X-Acto knife, and you, we call it weeding.
Mm-hmm.
We pull the tape that we want, the parts of the wood, parts of the image that we want exposed.
Mm-hmm.
And we leave the parts that we want to really smooth it. And that's fun. This is, again, it's another thing, recycling. And I come from my university, and I'm a real environmentalist, and so recycling has always been a thing. My father's a huge,
mm-hmm.
he recycles everything, all his materials, from the sign business, and all his Coke cans that
mm-hmm.
he consumes too. And so I just love this whole mentality of recycling. So I've been, for years now, taking the tape that would just normally thrown away.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that stuff you can recycle. That's the one thing you can. You can do the plastic behind
mm-hmm.
it. Everything but the tape. So if you play with, if you're really steady, you can lay that tape that you're not going to use back down on another surface.
Mm-hmm.
And you can have whatever image of flower or orchard, whatever. And then sometimes you can't get it exact, so then
mm-hmm.
you alter it and it's become something new. And so there's a lot of that. And it's just, ripping things, images out of, we go to book sales,
mm-hmm.
old library sales and stuff. I love finding these old big coffee table books of America,
mm-hmm.
This idealized version of America that they want. And it's, the mountains and purple majesty
mm-hmm.
and I'll put these crazy images from the tent over top of those, and it's like just a whole other, wing of the inverted democracy
mm-hmm.
series. But back to the process, then we're ready to blast. We have it set up outside with silicon, sand, very toxic. In the United States, you see a lot of commercials late at night for lawyers
mm-hmm.
and wanting to gather clients and guys, coal miners or people, construction guys that have been exposed to the silicon and now they're sick. I have a mask, a regular mask, another breathing thing, and you get three things in it. Next thing you know, you look like the man from Plan 9,
yeah.
and then you blast. It's a regular sandblasting thing, and you have a general air compressor.
Mm-hmm.
Creates the air pressure, fill up the tank with sand, and you got the gun and nozzle, and that's just a wild experience, too. It's just so solitary. I do feel like I'm from outer space, and I'm floating around. And I've blasted 3 feet of snow, where you got to drag a tank up through this clear path through the snow. And I've been 100 degrees and hot and sweating and humid and rain. I live in Woodstock, and one of the places on our perpetual tour is Holmesdale, Pennsylvania, where the birthplace of the American Railroad, where my parents have their shop and where they live. And so I gotta hit it when I hit it, and I'll do it in any kind of weather. But it's just, I was talking to, what's her name? She's in the show.
Carmen.
Carmen.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, and she, this other artist, she's the only person who I've ever been in a gallery looking at my work and like, I see you, I feel you with that stuff on blasting. Like,
mm-hmm.
So she knew that feeling I got doing it. It was just remarkable when she said that. And that's it. It's just like you're just solitary,
mm-hmm.
Plane. And it's just really a wild little experience, and it's not that long, you know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, mm-hmm. and you're done. And you just blast the wood, you know, just aim the gun with the sand shooting out, and the tape is so heavy duty, it just repels the sand,
mm-hmm.
and it just blasts away. And that's the thing, I'm working with this canvas that I'm so grateful and thankful for, because it just gives me so much. People
mm-hmm.
are stand there in the gallery and look at some of the pieces and are amazed at the grains of wood,
mm-hmm.
and then just the ribbon effect. It's just gorgeous, and it's given to me. I don't know what it's going to be like until after it's done.
Okay.
And then that just adds another dimension, layer
mm-hmm.
onto whatever image or whatever I'm trying to convey.
Okay. And then after that, then you paint?
After that, it's like, you know, paint and peel.
Mm-hmm.
Or peel and paint, whatever.
Okay.
I want to do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we paint the background first and then peel, and sometimes I rip it all off the tape and
mm-hmm.
paint everything first. It depends on what kind of effect I'm going to paint.
Okay. Have you ever painted first and then sandblasted?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, no, you know, the only thing, the only variation is when I'm doing the flags and I want
mm-hmm.
to shoot the flags, I blast paint immediately, rip
mm-hmm.
everything off and paint, and then just try to shoot the flags
yeah.
when it's still dry, or when it's still wet,
mm-hmm.
just to get, it's just a more messy effect.
Okay.
But no, I don't think I've ever painted, well actually, yeah. We're just experimenting, it's just fun to be
yeah.
down there, you
mm-hmm.
know, and it's just such a creative environment. And yeah, we did fool around with dripping, like
mm-hmm.
you know, like just ripping off of Jackson
mm-hmm.
pond and just dripping all over and just building up tons of paint
mm-hmm.
and then trying to blast over that, and then the sand gets into the paint, it's still wet because
yeah.
it drips so much paint on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I did a real simple image of Glory on a dog.
Mm-hmm.
Just this dog, you know, wrapped in a tail
yeah.
like that. And then we dripped the paint all over and then we blasted it. Oh, I did it with a shirt too, the Winnebago shirt, where the sand gets into the wet paint and then it dries and hardens, and it's just really texture-wise, it's
mm-hmm.
really cool. And again, there's a long list of techniques and you know, that I want to integrate with some of the projects that we've heard of democracy.
Yeah.
Thank you for reminding me, this is another one on the list.
Yeah.
Because it is remarkable, yeah, when you have the background of the wood blasted away
yeah.
and then you have this paint, this
mm-hmm.
texture.
I have to show you the stuff Will made, which is going to be the next show here, where all he doesn't use brushes, he just pours the paint directly from the can and comes out with some
yeah.
wild stuff.
Yeah. Yes, it's fun to go on.
Yeah. You talk about how when you sandblast, you're never certain what's going to be happening, so each piece sort of appears spontaneously, as
yeah.
opposed to, say, taking a picture or a painting where you know what it's going to be like in advance.
Yeah.
Although there, from my perspective, I recognize, yes, there is the variation within the grains and so on, but it is how much is dictated by what you discover after sandblasting versus what you're imposing on the piece from the beginning and then just working within variations.
I like that, you know, that it's not all laid out.
Mm-hmm.
Because every time I try to sit down at the point of the day,
mm-hmm.
I can do it. I try to organize, have a list, but
mm-hmm.
things you couldn't even possibly think about putting on that list
mm-hmm.
dominate the day. So I kind of, you know, the work kind of mirrors the life.
Okay.
You know, so
mm-hmm.
I like having elements of it, you're not knowing how it's going to
mm-hmm.
turn out until, like you say, it spontaneously
yes.
appears there in front
mm-hmm.
of your eyes, and then you have to deal with whatever it is.
Have there been times where you've radically changed what you've been making because of the grain stuff? Where just off the top of my head, sort of like going back with the second set of tape to change the actual image on it?
Yeah, there's been, it's been very minimal, that
mm-hmm.
kind of, you know. I'd say about being there, I usually have ideas, you know, I come with ideas
mm-hmm.
and I have a limited time and I've got to get it out. And other times I've raced to put that equipment away and I'm driving back to Woodstock or back to New York, sandy, because I don't even have time to wipe the sand off. just color, you know, afterwards painting it and having it done and then not liking it. There's a piece at the Stuart
Hall.
Stuart Hall right now that you can see this red bleeding through the silver of one of them, and it was red and green. It was this Christmas thing.
Okay.
I just couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
So that happens more with the paint than with the
okay.
blasting over. But I'm sure it's done. I mean, you know, the fun thing is that in the recycling aspect of it, it comes from mistakes. I was talking with him last night about, you know, hanging it from the ceiling so you can see the other side. Because a lot of these pieces are mistakes from,
mm-hmm.
you know, the sides. And,
yeah.
you know, and it's just, you really should do that and show both sides
mm-hmm.
of the work.
Have you ever made a two-sided piece? Yes, I can think of one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's been a bunch, especially the smaller stuff. I like, you know, if it's really small, they'll throw up a big bucket and they'll burn it. My father had it, you know, they burn it, and they can't use it inside. But it's always there for me to, you know, look through, browse
mm-hmm.
through first. So a lot of the smaller stuff that, you know, that doesn't hang on a wall, we'll do both sides
mm-hmm.
just to give that perspective. If you have it sit on something, cool up 360.
And then it also just occurred to me, although I hadn't even think of it, when writing down notes for this whole, like, folk thing.
Yeah.
In terms of that, I only got a brief glimpse of it and stuff like that, but definitely had moving around the table last night, fascinated.
I know, right? I mean, some of them wanted to just, ooh, the new Vogue
uh-huh.
in September. It's the famous September Vogue, the fall
mm-hmm.
fashion preview. I'm actually a fan of it. I'm usually in Maine in August
mm-hmm.
with family, and we got to go out and get that thing. And, but again, it's just me looking at our culture,
mm-hmm.
and not so much. I mean, I'm arguing the women have a time here, but.
No, just this calling follow-up on my email from last week about listings. And there was a point that I haven't had a chance to really go look at the issue today. I CC'd you on it just so that we can call somebody in. A higher level of responsibility would be slightly
easier.
Shit happens. As I tell people, it's the sort of thing with all videos on the industry listening, right? I was going, yeah, she's probably going to be paid, and most stressed out person on staff. Okay.
That's great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Raging me right now is American foreign policy and what's happening in Iraq, and I don't profess to sit here and know any answers about should or should not be doing to get out, but it just killed me because 2002, when I was listening to the debate every day on the radio, I heard the CIA saying it was a good idea, and I figured maybe we should listen to those guys. So I really didn't want to go in the first place, but we're there, and it just kills me every day. I know. Anyway, a lot of the work in the last 2 years has been a reaction
mm-hmm.
To the war, and I was completely ripping off of Picasso and and I did a big piece last year that I found a bunch of images, hearts, heart, alum, real textbook, graphic art, you know, heart, lung, teeth, just rows of teeth, and skeletons. And the skeletons are kind of cartoony.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a little bit of dark humor in it, too. It's a real Mexican, you know, on, you know,
Day of the Dead.
Day of the Dead kind of kind of thing going on, too, which I love all that Mexican art.
Mm-hmm.
I just love that stuff. So I was kind of riffing on that, so see where the sources were. But I made this huge thing, and it was just, I think I called it Fallujah. It was happening. Siege, the first siege of Fallujah was happening when I was up there, and it's just such a swirl, it's a dream, and people were having these nightmares as I was going about having a great time with my family and creating and work, and so I made a whole series with those images, and it's something I think I'm just growing a little bit and just wanting to play with, brand myself a little bit with certain images, and that one of them, I love these skeleton heads and the body parts. It's really morbid and kind of scary looking and funny though. Some of them are so funny. So I just have these images in our computer I blasted a whole series of them. And God, you know, before New Orleans, it was right around the time that Cindy Sheehan was down in Crawford. And I'm in Holmesdale for one day. Every year we do this thing with these kids, these at-risk kids from Danbury, Connecticut. And it's me trying to give back any little chance I can.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got to be played in part of that, you know. I'm auctioning off a piece in Atlanta or LA right now for charity, and I'm always trying to do that. And the first show I ever had was the CBGB's gallery in New York City in 99, and we hooked up with this nonprofit at the time, and so 6-7 years down the road now, they kind of a year. And they just have a blast. They spend a day in the shop, and I show them everything we've been talking about, the whole technique that they get to come home with. You know what it is? A lot of them, it's just gifts, you know, they make these things for their moms or their sisters and brothers, and it's just a lovely day, and so I was there for that, and my mother, Patty, had the news on, and driving us crazy. My father, who was a Marine in the 60s, who is just so heartbroken about us being there, and I just had a conversation with them, and I had to bring some. I'm going to Maine that night to swim in paradise and eat lobster and drink wine on the deck, and I'm like, I gotta bring something with me. So my father has a machine that he doesn't hand letter anymore. You know, I'm the son of a sign painter, so three generations, and you know, it stopped with me, and we reworked the thing where the clients, I have to go find the clients. But he hasn't hand letter anymore. It's all on the computer, and he prints out on vinyl. Same thing, same concept as the tape. It's just really thin, petroleum-based, you know, repercussions of New Orleans and the war and everything. We're wondering how when that stuff's going to go up. And it's just vinyl, and he cuts usually letters, and, you know, we put that on the side of a truck, somebody's, you know, band, electrician, or whatever. So I said, Patty, get my skulls and my hearts and my hands and legs, separate legs and things. It's really sick stuff. And I said, get and print out as much of that on the vinyl as possible. And the half inch, 1 inch, you know, images. And so she said, you go run these errands for me and I will do whatever you want. So she printed off so much, just whatever old rolls of vinyl.
Yeah.
And we got about 2 or 3, 4 colors. And then I ran away. And then, you know what else I did? I took about 6 pieces of redwood that I just scraps and just blasted them. Now, I just needed to get out there. I blasted for the kids, all the things, and I needed to be sort of like, there's no time to be throwing images in the computer. So it was just hurrying up and make something so I don't, you know, I don't lose my mind
yet.
So I blasted those 6 pieces and I just stained those natural, just a little color in them. And I think that's my Crawford series. president was hanging out in Concord, and they're just nothing, they're just ripples of the wood. And,
okay.
And that's the first time I've really done a full series without putting anything on. It's just blessing. So I did that, and that was, I'm telling you, just quit something to throw in the car to take, they changed it with me. So then, you know, we're up in Maine, I'm like, we gotta get that boat, and they're just a blank, vacant stares of these beautiful women, and it just reminded me of the blank, vacant stares of most of my countrymen and women not wanting to think about, you know. We call the us, we clean people, and all that, we call that crap, and people just want to read that stupid shit and not deal with the world. I just read this thing, 60% of Americans don't follow world news because they don't want to be reminded of all the war and violence and poverty out there. And so I wanted to do what Cindy Sheehan was doing at the same time, and just have people talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where it came out of. So I just have been just taking my X-Acto knife and lifting these images off the paper and putting them onto some of them. I've gotten so pissed off at the, you know, I've been deep into this Vogue for weeks now, and some of them I'll take a tooth and put it over the woman's eyes or mouth, like, just shut up or this. And some of them I just lay it all over them, so they're looking out into whatever they're looking out at, and nothingness, and the skulls and the hearts and everything, I'm just surrounding them. I got about 150. I don't know where we're going with this, but we're going to talk about this some more, you and I.
Yeah, no, I like the idea very much. There's one thing that just occurred to me now, was, we're about 6 months or so, I was reading about this guy who would make a collage a day, and it was sort of like, there's journal entry where he had sort of decompression time, he was supposed to have a cocktail hour.
What?
And then at which point, 40 years on, there was then a sort of exhibit of best of his collages. And that's the sort of thing where, given that it is, to me, a very one-to-one piece of art, it would be extremely difficult to get it to that one-to-many thing of a normal sort of gallery type thing. But the sort of, do either an entire year of Vogue, or just say, okay, this is an ongoing thing for the next 4 years, and at which point every September issue, or just going back and finding used copies and stuff like that, and doing that and just amassing so that it's, you pull them off the shelf, and at which point then flip through them and sort of, where I would imagine sort of you're viewing each page as an individual piece. Whereas, to my mind, I'm looking at the entire magazine as one piece.
Well, I'm viewing it the way you just said I'm viewing it. I'm viewing it the way you're viewing it as well. I'm imagining, I laid it out last week in Maine and just started photographing it. And I had some natural sunlight peeking through, and so a lot of it is even dreamier than the original professional fashion photographers.
Yeah.
That, and it's well done. It's so well put together for what it is. It's brilliant. And I just added another layer just on the photographing, and I really like those images. So I got 130 or 40 right now, so I can imagine telling the story just from, just selected the best of, because, they're just brilliant, some of these images. Some of them are so scary, some of them are so funny. The piece, the original piece is still the magazine.
Yeah.
I told Susanna we got to get some sort of box or some sort of thing to secure it, because I'm dragging all over the place and I'm just going to wreck it, I'm just in the trunk right now, I think.
Another thing that thought just occurred to me is, given there are a bunch of zine makers that drop their stuff off of here and stuff like that, they sort of take, 8-10 pages out of it, color photocopy them, and just slap them together as a zine that can then get tossed out as well.
That's
very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally thinking that, just printing out, making like a little book of, the whatever, collectible, and we'll decide which ones to put together, and that's the abridged, September Vogue.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's just the beginning of this thing that I just had a quick think of something.
Yes.
Just so I wouldn't kill myself. This is so bad.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Now I've actually hit everything on there.
That's how I'm going to edit. So I'm going to kill myself.
No. There, it's also a certain thing. Is there anything, actually, given that this is recorded and going to be transcribed and so on, is there anything that you'd like me to ask, that you want to get out there?
Susanna?
I don't know.
Anything we haven't touched?
Website. You have a lovely website.
Yeah.
That will be linked in everything there. That goes without saying. There's an introduction
sure.
that comes up as well.
Sure. So. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I want to thank you. I love this place. I'm sitting here thinking of, I'm a student in history now, and I don't like reading. And, the history to me is never about a president standing up and reading. It's always about the people that make the leaders lead. And I really appreciate the history of the people that I admire, the musicians and the writers and the painters and the artists. That come before me, and I like that kind of history. And so I see, Jack Kerouac in Pittsburgh mm-hmm. sitting on a couch in, in some joint in a village, and I love looking at those pictures. And I see these couches here, and I see this place, and it just reminds me of that kind of joint. And this community, has always been so great to me, and I just appreciate being part of it.
Tons of fun in there. It's the sort of thing where, and excuse me now, ego getting large, but it is like last spring I had 4 art history students interning here, and they're McGill graduates. I think maybe about a dozen art history students a year, and it was fun realizing, I might actually have an effect on the face of art history.
Right.
Just gotta wait it out long
yeah.
enough.
Mm-hmm. And it's, I can't even describe how beautiful mm-hmm. it is.
Thank you very, very much.
Right on. Mm-hmm.
And thank you very much for the interview.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
No problem. My pleasure. Okay.
Yeah.